Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Welcome to another episode of Step Into Your Power with Tommy Truthful and Honey C. Golden. So today we got a video that we're going to play for you guys. And then me and Honey are going to give our feedback on this video. And of course, it's tied to the Matrix and how Neo masters the Matrix. I'm excited for this one, Honey. How about you?
Me too. Yeah, I love it. We're breaking the Matrix, you guys.
Breaking the Matrix. We got the red and blue pill up in the background. You know, we're ready to go. So I'm going to play this one, Honey. I've been waiting so long. I was actually going to do one by myself on this, guys, but I wanted to wait for Honey because I just thought it'd be a really cool discussion to have. And the content creator who created this video, the link will be down in the description. And you'll see on the video is his channel. A big shout out to him because he did a phenomenal job with this video. So I'm going to play it and then we'll give you our feedback on that. And all the links are down in the description. Make sure you check out Honey's Quantum Healing. That will be down below. Amazing platform. You can book your consultation over there with her and Lisa. It's just phenomenal, guys. It helped me out so much. And if you want to book a personal decode and find out your role in this simulated reality, that'll also be down below. That's on truthfultv.com. Maybe we'll talk a little more about this after, how there's first player characters and NPCs in the Matrix and how Honey was one of the rare first player characters and carrier of this Neo code. And you can also get our sponsorship with Body Align. That's an amazing product right there. I got mine on, based on Nikola Tesla scalar wave technology. Just really protects your body from all these negative frequencies. So here we go, guys. Let's play this video and then we'll give you our feedback.
The Matrix has been remembered for trench coats, slow motion bullets, and apocalyptic philosophy. But beneath the spectacle lies a quieter revelation, one that unfolds not through force, but through perception. Neo's journey is not a rebellion against machines, rather it's a search for the origin of illusion. And what he uncovers is both subtle and profound. The simulation begins from within. At first, the world appears intact. Gravity is consistent and emotions arrive on cue. But then something begins to shift. When Neo touches a mirror and watches it ripple like water, the surface layer of reality no longer holds. But it's not the world that breaks. It's his internal agreement that the world is as it appears to be. The illusion doesn't collapse, but reveals its inherently formless nature. And in that moment, a new possibility emerges. If experience is constructed, can it also be deconstructed? The surface-level world in the Matrix is persuasive only because it's reliable and coherent. Events unfold in familiar patterns. This cycle is not something Neo consciously creates, but it is one he participates in. The rhythm has been rehearsed so often, it has come to resemble reality itself. In this way, what we call reality is simply a reflection of the structures of our existing beliefs. Across many cultures and traditions, this subtle doubt in the structure of perception is acknowledged as the beginning of a profound shift in awareness. In yogic philosophy, the Sanskrit word maya is often translated as illusion, though the term points to something more nuanced. Maya is not deception in the sense of trickery, rather it's the appearance of separation, the way perception gives a solid boundary and separate shape to what is essentially fluid and interconnected. The Matrix isn't held together by machinery alone. It's held together by something far more intimate, belief. Not loud, declarative belief, but quiet, repetitive agreement. A kind of consensus reality, reinforced not by choice but by habit. Neo didn't consciously choose to believe in the Matrix. He inherited it, absorbed it through repetition, and what felt urgent, what got rewarded, what seemed safe, those impressions settled into his body over time. Patterns became habits, habits became assumptions, and assumptions became reality. They formed the very atmosphere of what he believed to be true. This is where the Matrix lives, not in code or in cables, but in the body. In the breath that shortens when a rule is broken, in his heart when it races as somebody shouts, and in his muscles when they tighten at the sign of disapproval or conflict. The illusion persists not because the mind is fooled, but because the nervous system responds as if the simulation were real. Reality is rehearsed from the inside. Neo's captivity is not enforced by machines. It's maintained through reflex, conditioned responses, learned fears, and emotional memory. They all give the illusion its weight, and each time he reacts with fear or doubt with the expected emotion, the Matrix tightens its grip. The system isn't something to be escaped, rather it's something to stop unconsciously repeating. This agreement is quiet but powerful, a shared and mostly unconscious structure of belief played out through sensation, emotion, and repetition. It creates the feeling of truth through sheer familiarity, and the moment Neo begins to feel without reacting, to notice without rehearsing, the simulation begins to dissolve. And he's not alone in this. The apparent solidity of the world is sustained by the shared nervous systems of those within it, all responding to the same cues, the same rhythms, and the same illusions. Before Neo can begin to see clearly, he must recognize the difference between truth and familiarity. Just because something feels emotionally charged, socially confirmed, or biologically familiar doesn't mean that it's true. This shift becomes visible in the dojo. Neo braces, he flinches, he prepares to resist. His body still believes in the rules. But Morpheus moves with effortless clarity, not because he's stronger, but because he's unhooked. He no longer participates in the logic of the simulation. And as the sparring continues, something begins to shift in Neo. His movements become less reactive, less defensive. He pauses, he observes, and in that stillness, something deeper begins to emerge. He starts to understand that it's not rebellion that weakens the Matrix, rather, it's the quiet withdrawal of unconscious agreement. Freedom begins not through escape, but through interruption. The Matrix loses coherence when Neo stops playing his part. Resistance feeds the illusion, but when he stops reacting, when he lets awareness guide his movements rather than fear and conditioning, the system starts to dissolve on its own. The Oracle doesn't predict the future. Rather, she reframes perception. When she tells Neo, "You're not the one," she isn't issuing a verdict. She's holding up a mirror. Her words don't reveal destiny, they reveal belief. Neo must first believe he isn't the one before he can realize that the belief itself is irrelevant. He isn't preparing to become something new. He's learning to stop waiting, and he's learning to discover who he already is. What the Oracle exposes is not the path ahead, but the self that still clings to certainty. Her insight doesn't instruct, it invites. This is the essence of Neo's transformation. He doesn't gain power. He sheds illusion. He doesn't conquer the Matrix. He stops energizing it. The code was never a prison on its own. It was held in place by his participation. When the bullets hit his chest and he collapses, it's not defeat. Rather, it's dissonance. The system completes its logic, but Neo no longer matches its rhythm. Something deeper has surfaced, an awareness that does not answer to fear. He does not slow time. He steps outside the mechanism that creates time. Sound falls away, space opens, and perception shifts. And then he sees the code, and more importantly, he sees through it. The bullets don't need to be dodged. They belong to a world he no longer inhabits. The Matrix becomes transparent, not because Neo wins, but because the self that once believed in it is no longer present. There is no resistance, no effort. Only the quiet cessation of agreement. And this is the heart of awakening. The Matrix is not something done to him, it's something lived through him. When the underlying patterns dissolve, not as abstract ideas, but as a shift in his awareness, the illusion loses coherence. There's no final battle, there's no enemy to destroy. The system ends not with force, but with stillness. It fades because he no longer participates. But Neo doesn't stand alone in this. He joins a lineage, those who, across time, have made the same quiet choice, to stop feeding the illusion. And what dissolves is not the world itself, but the beliefs and expectations that made it feel so real. Which leaves us with the question, if the world is only real because we believe it to be so, what remains when that belief falls away? If you enjoyed this video, feel free to like and subscribe to see more content like this. There's also a Patreon for anyone who'd like to support the channel. This video and others like it couldn't be made without the kindness and support of people like you. Thanks for watching.
So big shout out to him, first of all, because he did a phenomenal job with that. And honey, I want to hear your thoughts. I was so excited to watch that with you.
Yeah, it was so good. So he really broke a lot of it down. And the most important thing that comes out of that is basically at the end where he says, stop energizing the Matrix that you basically don't want anymore. So our audience, we don't want that Matrix anymore. And what's going to come after is the Matrix that we create. So that's really important. And then at the beginning, he talked about sound. And the voice is sound. That's the beginning of creation. Yeah. And we've basically been in a place where we're in a universe where sound is the beginning. And it's giving the codes to different forms of light. So when you're creating code with your voice, you're creating light codes and basically molding the light in the way that you want it to be created. So if you're creating a wall, if you're creating a car, if you're creating whatever you're creating, and it will show up in a way that you expect because that's your belief system. Because everything is created from the subconscious mind. Now, we're getting into a point where we're going to start creating from the conscious mind. And we're clearing out the subconscious mind of the things that we no longer want. So that's really good because we're all becoming a form of Neo in our own way at this point. But there's a lot of stuff that I could say. But what do you have to say about it, Tommy?
No, I thought it was amazing, you know, and the red and blue, a lot of people don't know where this comes from. That's really what the Twin Towers all symbolized. It's the three pillars in Freemasonry. So you had the two towers fall, the one was resurrected, the two becoming the one. The left brain, right brain merging, right? There's a deep esoteric meaning there. And the red pill is the painful truth, waking up to reality, liberation of consciousness, while the blue pill is the comforting lie, staying asleep in the illusion, going back into the dream world. Now, this is a much deeper metaphor for gnosis, awakening to the hidden architecture of reality. The red pill is tied to the fire of illumination, the blood of life, and the raw awareness. The blue pill is tied to the watery lunar illusion, the unconscious state. This duality reflects the choice every seeker faces: stay comfortable in the programmed illusion or break free from this control grid. Now, neurologically, the left hemisphere of the brain is associated with logic, order, language, mathematics, the structured matrix, I see that code so perfectly. And the red pill can be seen as activating the right hemisphere of the right hemisphere of the brain, which is vision, awakening, higher perception, while the blue pill keeps you stuck in left brain prison, the logic, materialism, but the true key isn't to live in either one. It's to bring them into balance. That balance is where the true illumination happens. And as far as the red pill, blue pill, like I mentioned before, you got Boaz, the left pillar, and it represents the strength structure of the material world. And then Boaz and Jachin, and I pronounce that probably terribly, the right pillar representing the establishment of spirit and higher truth. These two pillars are the cosmic dualities, masculine and feminine. So it's the moon and the sun, the fire and the water, logic, intuition. If you cling to one of them pillars, you collapse into that imbalance. But when you walk in that middle path, that third pillar, that's the whole secret in Freemasonry. You access the true temple, the Holy of Holies, which is symbolic of the divine consciousness or gnosis. So what I get from that is, like you said, stepping outside of the matrix, not feeding that, fear really feeds it, and learning how to balance the red and blue pill. Because there's also a thing where Neo takes the red pill and they kind of flip that around on you too, the symbolism there, because it would have been the blue represented that more than the red. Right.
Yeah.
I think it's more about balance myself. What do you think about that?
Well, we're actually in the energetic time where masculine and feminine are balancing, and the masculine is kind of clearing more of the stuff. So if you think about the way the masculine brain and the female brain work, with the female brain, we have a multitasking feature. So basically three sections of the frontal lobe, whereas the masculine, I believe, just has one. And masculine is very good at focus and doing something extremely well and carrying it all the way through. Whereas feminine is really good at seeing all the pieces and saying, this is the way that I see to actually get through it. So the masculine is the carrier of the feminine. And we all have masculine and feminine within us.
Yep.
But a lot of the reason that I think more women woke up at the beginning, unless a man was completely, you know, absorbed in what was going on, is because they could see the facets of it. And there's an old Native American saying, and I probably get it slightly wrong, but basically the woman is the person who leads the man to his own soul. So there's a way that women are able to see things in a bigger way. But the masculine is the one who actually takes us there.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So we need both. It's really important to have both. And we have both.
There's been a long time. Well, at least they've been trying to do this for a long time to destroy the sacred feminine and totally like purge it from the system. And I've always said this, females are amazing. First of all, you guys are the only ones that can, you're kind of created in the creator's image more so than us, in my opinion. You can bring soul contracts into this reality, right? You bring new life in. Mm-hmm. So, and there's been, back in the day, there was balance. There was balance between the masculine and the feminine, the father and the mother. And then the son represented that third pillar, Jesus Christ. You know, that's what it was. But then they purged that and try to just lean more into the masculine. And we see where that got us. It's not ending up too great. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's completely distorted. And that's kind of the way that the world has been set up for a very long time. And there's been different versions of distortion as we've gone through all these different layers of societies. But this version has been the one that we just came out of and we're still watching fall apart, has been probably one of the most distorted because they kept eking away at the mind of the human being. And basically, humans, we didn't really know that we were being used, just like Neo didn't. And it's the subconscious mind that is being used. So when you're watching a TV show, when you're hearing about something on the news, when you're engaged in anything but your own self and nature, and maybe some of your really clear friends, you know, friends that have done their own healing work.
Yes.
Then you're seeing distortion. And you have to recognize the distortion. I mean, there's been moments where I've seen the Matrix, where I have seen the walls go away, you know, in the house, and watched the floor disappear and the roof disappear. These are things that actually you're being shown that this is a dream world that we're creating together, but it feels solid because you're using different light codes to make it appear that way.
Well, I mean, I could see that with you too, because like when I decoded you, you were a carrier of that Neo code, and there's multiple different ways you can connect to that code, guys. You can connect to it through the number 36 in Chaldean. If you add the word the, and I'm just saying like typing Neo code in Gematria, which comes from Jewish Kabbalah mysticism. Me and Honey did a whole show on it. Unfortunately, the audio got a little messed up when we did that show. But just to touch on it real quick, there's these basic ciphers like an English ordinal. A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, all the way through Z is 26, where you have truth and God, that's what they equal. I always like to show them as examples. And then your other basic one is the reduction cipher, which it just reduces. So if you got the number, like K is a perfect example, it equals 11, right? But it wouldn't in here because you reduce it down to 2, even though it's a master number. So using Gematria in the Septentry cipher, which is based on 1 through 7, Honey is connected to the Neo code, and that's one of the rare ones. The number 36 and the number 40 are two of the rarest ways you can connect to that Neo code archetype. You can also connect to it through the number 50 if you add the word the into it, but it's not as pure. And 128 in reverse ordinal. But like I said, the two most powerful ones are 36 and 40, the one Honey had. And you see here, first player character is tied to Planet X, which I always found interesting. I think it's a dimension myself. I don't think it's a planet. All worlds a stage. Both of them have that connection. Non-player characters connected to Saturn. And the first player character is connected to Jupiter, Zeus, Jesus, that energy, right? And I've showed this slide before. The pineal gland open is 64, matching the first player character, the awakened avatar. Honey always says that's our oversoul, which is fascinating because the Anunnaki had pictures holding the pine cone, and in certain scriptures they said it was the soul stone. And you say it's part of our fractals, and when all them fractals come together, that's our oversoul, right?
Yeah. So all the sum of all your lifetimes, your entire multiverse, is your oversoul. And it's a very simple way to illustrate that with a pine cone.
Yeah, I love how you do that. And then the closed one is like the sleeping human. And it's just so cool how it lines up, you know, with pineal gland sleep, 63, non-player character. Pineal gland open, 64, first player character. I'm just like, wow. If this don't prove that we're in some sort of simulated reality, then I don't know what does. Because, but yeah, I could see you. And I loved when you described how you seen the Matrix as a waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that conversation we had?
Yeah, I've seen the Matrix. Well, I've seen the Akashic Records as a waterfall. But I've also seen the water and the way that the Matrix actually makes up the water, which is really beautiful to watch because you can see the waves or the peaks in the water. So if you were talking about a waterfall, you would see like the different strands of water coming down. And some are highlighted more than others when you can see the Matrix. And it's really cool.
Yeah, you were like, you don't understand why other people can't see it. And I resonated with that so much because I get so frustrated all the time. Like, and I just got to remember my mom or my sisters, they're on their own spiritual journey. You know what I mean? So I don't hold it against people no more. But I used to get like so frustrated when I was trying to show them something and they're like, oh, you, what are you talking about? Like they just couldn't see it. You know what I mean? Or they would think you're, oh, you're crazy. That's not what that is. And I'm like, okay. But you got to learn we're all in our different phases of awakening. And once you learn that, you start to not let that stuff bother you. And, you know, that's a lot of the stuff we teach guys over at StepIntoYourPower.com, which me and Honey are partners in. It's amazing spiritual community. It's just really cool to see everybody grow over there, Honey, how people are stepping into their power, you know?
Yeah, they're really stepping into it. And there's a lot of tools in there and there's a lot of community going on. And one of my favorite things is when somebody decides to really step into it and elevate and they come into Ascension Mastery and just really shine. Like it's our time to shine right now, you guys. We're stepping into who we are and being our true selves. And the things that we're sharing with everybody are getting deeper and deeper. So we've kind of become the Alice character, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland. And Step Into Your Power, guys, that link is in the description. It's 100% free. When you click the link in the description, you'll be able to join right away. If you go straight to stepintoyourpower.com, you got to wait till we approve you. So that link down there just allows you to join instantly. It'll be in Honey's and it'll be in mine. Plus, you help Honey get to her gold level badge. Not that we really care about that, but it's kind of cool. And it's just an easier way to make it easier for our people to join, really, is the base behind it. But I wanted to show you something before we wrap this up, Honey, because I'm watching the Institute right now. Remember I told you?
Mm-hmm.
And I seen the staircase scene with the checkerboard staircase and the spiral staircase. And I've only seen it in two other movies. And I'm like, wait a second here. This is always tied to mind control. So in the Institute, it's a book that Stephen King wrote where they steal these kids with abilities like telekinesis, remote viewing, telepathy. And they kill their whole family and take them to this place called the Institute where they link them together and use them as weapons. So you'll see like and then when they're done with them, it's horrible. They put the kids in the furnace and, you know, they tell them they get to go home, but they ain't no going home. But these children, they can take over the consciousness of like a doctor. Say you went to the doctor and there was this Russian guy they wanted to take out. So they had all the kids link up. They took over the consciousness of the doctor, and instead of the doctor giving him the medicine he needed, he ended up injecting him with fentanyl. Boom, dude dies on the floor. So they're using these kids to take people out. And this same symbolism was in that movie. And we've seen it in the movie Dark City. Have you ever seen that one, honey?
I think so. I think I've seen that one. Yeah.
If you love The Matrix, you would love Dark City. So in Dark City and The Matrix, they both got the injection into the mind. They both got the octopi parasite entity, which to me is represents an archon or something, right? They both have the scorched, darkened world, which is the real world once you break through the illusion. They have the hero who escapes from the false reality. You got them both stopping bullets with the mind. Identical chase scenes on the rooftop. The trio antagonist in both of them, which is the Agent Smith character. And look, guys, that's part of some people's code. Some people have that Agent Smith code, and that's their role. They're here to put us to the test, you know, to make us stronger. And even for the NPCs, I think you can break free and eventually upgrade yourself. And I'm going to always try to give you that inspiration that you can hack your code and break free. Honey thinks that too, right?
Oh, yeah. Especially if you're just using their birth date. So a lot of people have had walk-ins at this point, and they could have had a walk-in when they were a kid, and they're really not an NPC at this point. So that's the hard part, I would say, when you're doing a decode. If you do run into an NPC, I would ask them, do you remember when your first memories began?
Right.
Yeah, because that's usually when they would have had a walk-in.
Yeah, and it's really based, your code is, whether you're an NPC or a first player character, it's not really based on your birthday. It's based on the name you were born with when you came into this reality via your mm-hmm. soul contract. Okay. So the birth date part is just the breakdown of your astrology, numerology. You know, I did one on you.
Yeah.
But yeah, we cover a lot in it. So, but the we do the Mayan calendar, your inner superhero archetype, which is connected to your goddess within. Honey's was Captain Marvel, which, by the way, is literally like the most powerful superhero ever. She can beat up Superman, all of them, all the guys. She's tough, man. She's a hard one to beat. And, you know, honey, it was cool to do yours because everything you talk about, your psychic abilities, all of that, it all showed up in your decode. So it blew my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm like, damn. You
even know, the illness stuff showed up.
The what?
Even the illness stuff showed up because I grew up with basically life-threatening asthma.
Oh, yeah.
And that showed up. And then right now I'm healing my digestion. So those two things showed up in my decode. So that was amazing.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It is. So see, even people like me and honey, I'm still working on my digestive system too. And I've been getting nauseous every morning, which I think that has to do with something else, you know, trying to talk to certain entities that make you all nauseous. Yeah, yeah, the Palladians. Honey said they make you nauseous, and it was weird. Right after me and her talked about that, they must have tried to contact me. Whatever them entities are, I know some of you out there are not into the alien thing. Maybe they're angelics or whatever you want to call them. I really don't get caught up in that or care. But there's something going on there. There's something going on there. And I definitely have felt that presence, and it makes you very, very upset to your stomach, nauseous. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Maybe it's due to their energy.
Their frequency is really high, and your stomach and your nervous system are trying to match their frequency, and also they're trying to get your attention. So it could be a lot of different things that cause nausea. Also, you could get extremely hot. Like all of a sudden you feel like you're having a menopausal hot flash.
Oh yeah. I mean,
those kind of things. That is someone trying to get your attention. And we only see 4% of what's actually around us. So we're breaking that now at this point, but just in general, humans only see 4%.
Yep. Yep. We do. And when you start liking Lucy, you start using 100% of your brain, you'll be able to see more, guys. But that's pretty much what we got for you today on this show. I really wanted to share that with you, honey. Do you have anything you want to say? And make sure you guys check out Honey's Quantum Healing. Real quick before we go, could you tell my audience a little bit about what you do over here?
Yeah, so what we're doing is we're going into the Akashic Records. We're dealing with soul contracts, and we're also dealing with all of your generational stuff. So generational curses, generational contracts, the body. And I'm also doing something with Lisa at the end that has to do with releasing things from the body. So it's a very cool and outside of the box healing. And you basically sign a contract at the beginning that says you're willing to heal. You're the one who's healing yourself. We're just guiding you through it.
That's so awesome. And that is really what it is, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like the placebo effect, which I've been fascinated with lately. So yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, honey, for coming on. I'll play our outro so you don't have to stick around for that. It'll play out. And we thank each and every one of you guys. Please like the video, share it. Go check out stepintoyourpower.com. Make sure you follow all Honey's links and check out her quantum healing. We love y'all.
Love you. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Yeah. This song right here ain't just a vibe. It's a frequency. Tuned at 432 hertz to heal, to uplift, to activate. They changed the music, switched the code, took 432 and made it 440 mode. From nature's rhythm to the sound of war, now we vibrate low, depressed to the core. But this track's pure, tuned to divine design. Activating chakras, realign your mind. Root to crown, feel that inner fire. We break the system, elevate higher. Jesus said it, you'll do greater than me. Faith of a mustard seed moves mountains, my G. Junk DNA, nah, that's God's hidden tech. Flip the switch, heal your soul, reconnect. Step into your power, reclaim what's true. They don't want you knowing what your light can do. You can heal yourself, realign in an hour. When you step into your power, raise your vibe, break the chains they gave. You ain't a slave, you're a soul they crave. 396 root chakra, ground your fears. 417 sacral arch, those tears. VAT28, that love DNA. Solar plexus charged, shine all day. 639 heart, open and feel. 741, speak your truth and heal. 852, third eye wide awake. 963 crown, no more fake. This ain't new age fluff, this is an ancient fact. They flip the frequencies to hold us back. 432 is sacred, aligns with the earth. The same math that coded your soul at birth.